Hello, my name is Cheryl Cohen, and I'm the president of Arthritis Consumer Experts, or ACE. ACE provides education and training to people with arthritis. We also help to empower people living with all forms of arthritis to take control of their disease and to take action in healthcare and research decision-making. I'm also a person living with rheumatoid arthritis. This is the third program in our series of joint health podcasts. And I'm really thrilled to be introducing you today to Dr. Linda Lee. Dr. Linda Lee is an assistant professor at the School of Rehabilitation Sciences at the University of British Columbia. In 2006, she was the first rehabilitation professional appointed to the role of the Dr. Harold Robinson Arthritis Society Chair in Arthritis Diseases. We're very, very thrilled to have Dr. Lee with us today to talk about the very important topic of exercise and arthritis. So thank you very much, Dr. Lee, for joining us.
Thank you, Cheryl.
Today's program for our listener is really intended to help people with arthritis and their family members and friends and really the public listener at large understand the benefits of exercise and arthritis, what types of exercise are safe for the person with arthritis, what kind of joint protection principles they should be employing when they go to exercise so that they can do it safely, what to do to prepare for exercise, what to do after exercise to make sure they don't end up in a heap in the corner of their house full of pain and stiffness, and other aspects of exercise and arthritis. So I'll just kick us off, Dr. Lee, if you will, with perhaps giving us an overview about the benefits, the general benefits of exercise for people living with inflammatory arthritis, such as rheumatoid arthritis, ankylosing spondylitis, psoriatic arthritis, but also for that much larger piece of the arthritis community, the osteoarthritis community.
I think in the last 20 to 30 years, one of the most exciting aspects of arthritis management, in addition to the pharmacological management, is how much we know about the benefits of exercise. In people with inflammatory arthritis, especially in those with rheumatoid arthritis, because we have a lot of research in this area, we now know that gentle stretching, strengthening, and exercise that improve the lung and heart function are in general beneficial for people living with rheumatoid arthritis. Now, another type of inflammatory arthritis, such as ankylosing spondylitis, which is a condition that affects the person's spine, the type of exercise that usually we focus on are to increase the mobility, flexibility of the spine, as well as to strengthen the core muscles, so the abdominal muscles, the hip muscles, for example, in order for the person to maintain their flexibility and mobility and general function. Now, in individuals with osteoarthritis, which is a bit more degenerative in nature, we now have very convincing evidence to support the use of gentle or general strengthening, as well as low and high intensity exercise for maintaining cardiorespiratory fitness, as well as muscle strength and range of motion, and decreased stiffness of the joint. So there are many important beneficial aspect of exercise for people with arthritis. The bottom line is that inactivity is bad for people with arthritis. Exercise, adequate amount of exercise, is good for people with arthritis.
Yeah, that's really heartening to hear, of course, because when you're diagnosed, I know for myself, when I was diagnosed 17 years ago with rheumatoid arthritis, I was instantly somehow different from everyone else because of my disease. And I was told, oh, well, I couldn't exercise or I couldn't do a number of things. So it sounds like the thinking has really changed over the last almost two decades for people with arthritis, that once we were told, be careful, sit still, don't hurt yourself, I mean, clearly don't hurt yourself still applies, but it is about getting out, trying your best to stay active, doing your best to stay fit. So in essence, we're no different from everyone else. Exercise is a good thing.
That's right.
Yeah.
And I think part of the reason is that we have much better medications that we can use to control the progression of some types of arthritis, such as rheumatoid arthritis. We are able to detect the disease earlier and apply the proper treatment earlier. So the devastating effect of many types of arthritis is not as important, you know, or restricting as for people to reduce their physical activity. Now, in the past, it is true that the general recommendation is that you need to rest or bed rest, we were talking about, when the disease is very severe. Now, nowadays, the thinking is that we need to encourage people to maintain their physical activities, to do exercise at the level that it is adequate for their body, as well as not to aggravate the disease process. But it doesn't mean that we do exercise without the balance of rest and conserving energy, which is a very important component for the management of inflammatory arthritis and osteoarthritis. Because as many of you know, fatigue is a major issue in arthritis. So there is an aspect of encourage physical activity, but there's also another aspect to get that balance of rest and being active.
Right. I think that everyone who has ever heard the term couch potato, you know, you can't go from a couch potato to a triathlete overnight, and that it takes working up to a general level of fitness, and that balance in exercise is like balance in every other aspect of our lives. I guess that, to me, is what I'm hearing from you, is the take home message.
That's right.
In terms of exercise and what it can do, it's sort of a weird concept for people like me who are living with the disease. When you hear your rheumatologist or your physiotherapist say to you, "Oh, go out and exercise," and you think, "But my joints hurt," you know, how? And then you hear in the next breath, "But trust me, the exercise is going to help your joint pain." So try to describe to us, if you can, in sort of lay terms, how does exercise help reduce joint inflammation, joint pain, joint stiffness? What is it that happens in our body that delivers that benefit when we exercise?
There are many things happens when a joint is suffering from arthritis. In the case of inflammatory arthritis, for example, the inflammation in the joints oftentimes cause pain, stiffness, which results in the person being more protective to the joint, or simply because the lack of energy level, the person may become less active. So what could happen is that the joint can become more stiff. The range of motion may be reduced simply because you're not using the a part of the range as much in your in the normal activity. And also the person may become more guarded of the painful joint. So another issue is around the muscle strength, decrease in muscle strength, as well as the size of the muscle bulk. When you don't use the muscle in the joint the way that you normally do, what happens is that the muscle can become weak, and it decreases the size of the muscle, which means that it restricts the movement and it decreases the strength of the muscle, which would allow you to perform the everyday activity. So in terms of exercise, what can help you or people with arthritis is to be able to maintain or to increase the flexibility, the range of motion, as well as the strength of the muscle on a long-term basis.
Right. Do we, when we think about the kinds of exercise that will do just as you described, what are we talking about in terms of sort of exertion level? Are we talking that we've got to go into the gym and pump iron? Is it, you know, what specific importantly do we do?
Now, in terms of the two things that we need to know, one is what types of exercise that we can do. And the second thing is that you have to ask yourself, what do you enjoy doing? So let's deal with the first question. In general, there are three categories of exercise. The first type is to improve or to maintain the movement of the joint, the range of motion exercise.
Right. We hear about ROM.
That's
R-O-M.
Right.
Okay.
That's right.
So that's what
so
that means.
So those are the exercise that usually the person will take the joint to from one end of the movement to the other end of the movement without adding weight or exertion to the activity. The second type of exercise is to aims at improving the strength of the muscle, called the strengthening exercise, which makes sense.
Yes.
And usually what person would do is to do the exercise with a little bit of resistance or with weight, dumbbell, TheraBand, I'm sure some of the equipment that people may be familiar with.
Right.
And the third type of exercise aims to improve or to maintain the function of the heart and the lungs. Aerobic exercise is usually the term. Cardiorespiratory exercise is another term that you probably will hear.
Yeah, so
from
when my friends say, oh, yeah, I did my
cardio
today.
That's right.
Yeah.
Those are the ones that aims to improve the person's general fitness, activity endurance, and that's the type of exercise that oftentimes people find helpful to manage fatigue.
Right. You mean the cardiovascular piece?
The cardiovascular piece.
Really?
Now, the strengthening exercise also, you know, to a certain degree, helps to manage fatigue as well, because when your muscle is stronger, then naturally it makes sense that you don't get tired as quickly.
Of course.
Then you can continue to do your activity, your daily activity, longer without getting tired.
Mm.
But with good physical fitness, good heart and lung function, that certainly helps to manage fatigue and to improve the activity tolerance during the day. So those are the three categories of exercise that your healthcare professionals, your physician and a physiotherapist, or even a kinesiologist with good background in arthritis can help you to develop.
Right. Let's touch on that, Dr. Lee. So you've talked about three really types of exercise, and can we assume that they sort of build on one another, that you need all three? You can't just have piece A and C and not do a bit of B. You want to have a nice blend of range of motion, strengthening, and cardiovascular.
In general. The principle is okay. That you want to have a good blend of the three category of exercise. But of course, depending on the activity of the disease of the specific individual we're working with, sometimes the focus may be a little bit more on the range of motion and less on the strength when the person is having active inflammation in a number of joints, versus when somebody who with their conditions more controlled, we can probably push a bit more in terms of the strengthening and the aerobic side of the exercise.
Yeah, I think that's a really, thank you for making that distinction for our listener, because it's such a repeated question at our workshops is, well, what type do I do and when do I do it? And so what I'm hearing from you is really what I'm hearing from all of our expert workshop speakers, and that's it's not a one-size-fits-all solution in terms of exercise for people living with arthritis. It's very much tailored to the specific needs of the individual as well as where they might be at their disease duration or activity at any point in time. The other thing I think you've mentioned just a minute ago is who might help you design an exercise plan or program that is both safe and effective. And you mentioned, obviously, a physician, a rheumatologist. In the case of someone with inflammatory arthritis, they would likely be seeing a rheumatologist, a physiotherapist, and a kinesiologist, perhaps. So one of the problems, and I'm sure this will resonate out there in listener land, is that we have a hard time getting information from our physicians because they don't have enough time to spend with us to discuss exercise. So I guess my question to you is, you know, how do we get to people like you who are expert in this area of exercise and arthritis? And what should we be asking people? I kind of like to go out and interview my physicians a bit to make sure that they're the best physician for me. And I think that's fair. I think that's how people end up with a physician that really can help them, because it's going to be a good relationship. So maybe you could touch on that.
Right. And first of all, I think arthritis is such a complex problem that oftentimes the issues or management approach cannot be addressed by just one healthcare professional. So although physicians and physiotherapists or other people in a healthcare team will have a general expertise around the treatment available for people with arthritis, oftentimes we may have to work with two or three different disciplines in order to get what is adequate in terms of exercise, for example. And also it depends on the availability of resources,
right,
in the various communities. We're quite fortunate, you know, living in a city where we have access to rheumatologists and physiotherapists and some exercise trained professional like kinesiologists with good knowledge on arthritis management. But in other areas, I think what people need to ask when they work with individuals or healthcare professionals with for the management of their arthritis is that how comfortable they feel in terms of developing an exercise program, and more importantly, to guide you to make progress to that exercise program. Now, your disease activity may go up and down,
right,
which means that your exercise also need to be tailored for that fluctuation of the condition. Can this health professional help guide you through the ups and downs of the disease activity so that you will always have an adequate exercise program for your condition at that particular time? So it is also important to, you know, build a long-term working relationship with the healthcare professional in developing an exercise program.
Yeah, I think that's a very important point. I know that the day I was diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis was the day I permanently got to know the healthcare system. And I'm still learning even after all of these years, because, of course, the healthcare system changes. It doesn't stay static, just like our disease doesn't stay static from year to year. I'm wondering if you can talk to us a little bit about how to blend. I really loved your comment at the very beginning, and that's what kinds of exercise, you know, is available, what should we be doing, but also what's of interest to us. And I think this is the most difficult thing for people with arthritis. They love to play golf, or they love to play tennis. They used to belong to a walking club or a swimming club, and now all of a sudden they have a disease that where they're experiencing pain and stiffness and et cetera. And so how do you go about getting the fun back, I guess, in your exercise plan after you've lost the ability to do that, I suppose? And what kind of recreational exercise is safe for us to do? Another very commonly asked question at our workshops.
That's a very good question. There is the question of what to do,
mm-hmm.
But there is another question about, you know, what do you like to do?
Yeah.
I think, first of all, you need to, as a consumer, as a person living with arthritis, you need to be honest with yourself what you enjoy doing. Some people like to exercise on their own. Mm-hmm. Others like to exercise in a group. Some people like to exercise in a gym environment. Others like to have exercise blend in with their everyday activities, such as, if I walk from A to B, does that count as exercise or whatnot? Mm-hmm. So there are various ways that a healthcare professional with arthritis training can help guide you to develop that exercise program. But there are also some established program out there that, one may consider. So, for example, in many communities, there are exercise programs that are specifically designed for people with arthritis. Some of those programs are done in a gym setting, a land-based exercise, that's what they call. One of the most well-known exercise program is called PACE, or P-A-C-E, or a patient with arthritis can exercise. In some of the communities, they actually have PACE program available where there is an exercise trainer to guide people through the mixture of range of motion, strengthening, and aerobic exercise. And in areas where you don't have those programs available, you can certainly get videotapes. And the PACE program comes with two different levels. One focuses more on the range of motion and gentle strengthening, which is more suitable for people with more active diseases or if you're just starting off an exercise program. And then there is a second level where people can exercise a little more rigorously. So that's one option. Now, if you like to exercise in a swimming pool, which is a good environment for people with arthritis, there are many community programs where it may have the name called Waterworks, Aquafit, hydrotherapy. Those are names that you probably will hear about. Some of the programs that are geared toward people with arthritis or the lower level type of pool program is quite beneficial. And many people find that even if they are not able to exercise in a way that they're satisfied with, in a land-based program, when they're in the pool, they're a different person. Mm. Part of the reason is that the swimming pools where people do these Aquafit programs, they're a bit warmer. So as you know, it's comfortable for
That's
the joint,
nice.
Especially for the stiff joint. Another thing is that when you're in the water, the buoyancy of the water helps to take some of the pressure off the joint. If you have the water up to waist deep, it was estimated that about 50% of the body weight in the lower limb is taken care of. If you have the water up to about shoulder level, up to 80% of the water weight, the body weight is actually taken care of. So people oftentimes find that their joints are a little more comfortable when they exercise in water, and they can do a bit more as compared to when they exercise on land.
Because it's not supporting the weight of the body, the joint is not needing to support the weight of the body, in other words.
Right.
And so it allows the joint, presumably, to move more freely.
Right.
Is that correct?
Absolutely.
Wow. The land-based programs and the water-based programs, I know that some of those are made available by the Arthritis Society in Canada, and you can access information about those programs through their website, which is www.arthritis.ca. So I thought I'd provide our listeners with that information. And I know we've had through our ACE website lots of positive feedback about JointWorks, WaterWorks programs, both the land-based and the water-based exercise programs. Do you find that, and I know that those have also been designed by experts such as yourselves who have a rich body of knowledge of arthritis and exercise. Do you find, Dr. Lee, that programs that are being run out in smaller community centers where they're not necessarily billed as arthritis programs, are they safe for people? How do we measure what is a safe community-based exercise plan and what is not?
That's another very good question. There are lots of different exercise programs out there developed by community centers or by for-profit companies. So I think going back to building that long-term relationship with the healthcare professional who knows arthritis is extremely important, because even if someone don't need to go back to their physiotherapist for a regular treatment, I think it's quite adequate to have a phone call, for example, with your therapist if you find an exercise program and you just want to make sure that it's adequate for your condition, for the stage of the disease activity, and just to simply have a consultation, talk it through the program, what is adequate for you or not, or to have one visit with the therapist to the facility where you do the exercise. In the past, when I was practicing more clinically, I actually went out with people to Tai Chi program, for example, and to make some modification so that someone with osteoarthritis of the knees, for example, are able to do the exercise without increasing pain in the area. So there are many options that you one may have to work with the healthcare professional in order to find out that perfect program for
them. Well, I think that's very helpful. And one of the things, again, I'd like to underscore it here for our listeners, is that that the education piece, the time you spend with the physiotherapist or physician who does have expertise in arthritis and exercise, that we should journalize, we should write down what some of those very sound joint protection principles are, so that when we get out into the community and perhaps don't have access to experts such as yourselves, that we can then have confidence. We can exercise in confidence. At our workshops, it's probably one of the biggest barriers we hear about is that people just aren't sure whether it's safe for them to do or not. So I'm encouraged to hear that you would encourage a quick telephone call to a physiotherapist who does have training in arthritis. And, Dr. Lee, it also brings to my mind that if you're a person, let's say, and you want to try to undertake a fairly high level of exercise or intense exercise, that maybe going to a community-based program first to learn about joint protection. So while the level of exercise may not be intense enough for you in that program, it's certainly a good way to learn about joint protection principles that you can then go on and take to your own higher level intensity program in your own backyard or at your own tennis club, your own swimming club, etc.
Right, that's a very good point. I'm glad that you brought up the issue around joint protection. There are a few things that it is a general recommendation for people with arthritis. One is that we generally ask people not to do so much of the high impact type of exercise, which is the type of exercise that cause extra pressure in the lower limb joints, so such as the hips, the knees, and the ankle, and in many cases the lower back. So any of the exercise that requires heavy jogging, jumping around, those are the ones that we certainly want people to avoid, especially at the active stage of the disease when the person has a lot of pain, swelling, and inflammation. Right. Another thing is that you need to make a little bit of investment and get a good pair of running shoes. That's absolutely important, especially for the land-based program. So just some general principles, good pair of running shoes. You want to get something that's lightweight. Don't buy something that's heavy, because that just adds to the weight for the exercise. For people with problems tying shoelaces because of a problem with the hands, you can easily get elastic shoelaces, which makes it a lot easier to tighten up the shoes. And there are many different companies has Velcro.
Yeah, Velcro is a great invention for people with arthritis.
And for people with painful toe joints as well as some deformities in the toes, make sure that you get the the running shoes with enough space to accommodate the deformity of the toe joint. And last but not least, for those of you who are using orthotics, bring your orthotics with you when you go out to get a pair of shoes.
Good point.
Because you probably will need a size or half a size bigger or whatnot in order to accommodate the orthotics. So those are just the little points that everybody should remember. And some of the sporting goods stores where they have people who really know how to fit a pair of running shoes will be very helpful to help you to fit a good pair of running shoes. And also, if any of you are working with an occupational therapist, they will have very good recommendation, specific recommendation that will be beneficial for the needs.
I think that's great advice. And again, it's a lot of these things that you've touched on are about applying one's common sense, really, that comfort is important in order to prepare for exercise. I wonder if you could touch on briefly just sort of preparing and ending exercise periods. So is stretching, ice, heat, can you make any sort of global comments about how one prepares appropriately for exercise and then what they should do following exercise?
A number of things.
Yep.
First of all, pick a time that you feel that you have the most energy when you do exercise. Oftentimes people ask me, when is the best time to do exercise? And I usually tell them that the time when you feel the best.
Yeah.
Some people find it easier to exercise in the morning. Some find it easier to do it later in the day. Proper warm-up and cool-down are another thing that is very important for somebody engaged in an exercise program. Proper warm-up, including gentle stretching and some of the range of motion exercise, in order to prepare the muscle for, and prepare the body as well, for the subsequent exercise. And if it's done properly, it can help to reduce the risk of injuring or flaring up the joint. Cool down is also very important, especially for those who are starting a new exercise program. Proper cool down can certainly help to reduce some of the potential discomfort in the muscle. For example, when somebody is starting a new strengthening or aerobic exercise program, remember that muscle soreness that you have around 24 to 48 hours, proper cool down can help to take care of some of those discomforts. Wear clothing that's comfortable and proper running shoes that we've talked about. And again, pick something that you enjoy doing and do a variety of exercise so that you won't get bored.
I think that's a very, very important point. When, in terms of one last question just around the preparation and cooling down periods of exercise, what about hot tubs? Everybody asks about hot tubs and the use of water or hydrotherapy. What do you think its role is in terms of exercise and arthritis?
In terms of using the hot tubs, I think the heat of the warmness of the water certainly helps to decrease the stiffness and improve the movement of the joint a bit better. But oftentimes it depends on the size of your hot tub. You may not be able to do a whole lot of strengthening or range of motion of to address the majority of the joints that you need to exercise with. So I think the use of heat is useful in some people to help to decrease the stiffness of the joint and to get the muscle warm up a little bit before they do the exercise, and certainly that's helpful. And as we're talking about heat, I also want to touch on the use of ice.
Yes.
Because people always ask when is a good time to use heat and when is a good time to use ice. In general, if we see a joint that is hot and swollen, it is a good idea to put a little bit of ice in the swollen joint before you go out to exercise, because it helps to decrease the swelling a little bit temporarily, but oftentimes it's just enough to get you off
going, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So That's one place that ice has a place in terms of exercise. Some of my patients also use ice after they do the exercise, because when the joint is inflamed, even if you're not exercising very rigorously, the joint may get a little more swollen, may get a little more uncomfortable. So you can also apply ice in the area after you finish the exercise.
So if it's hot and swollen, ice is a good thing, yep, both before and after exercise. It's a bit counterintuitive to think about putting ice on one's body before they exercise, but in fact it makes perfect sense. If it's hot and swollen, cool it down before you go out and do your exercise. Good point. I want to sort of take us, in wrapping up our conversation, Dr. Lee, into an aspect of exercise that is so critical, and that's, how do you stick with it? I mean, how many times I've said on January 1, I'm going to start an exercise plan, and only to find myself on March the 1st not doing the exercise plan anymore. So what are some simple tips you can give our listeners on how they can increase their chances of compliance, if you will, or just sticking with it?
First of all, you have to pick something that you like to do. Secondly, you need a variety of activities, because let's face it, even if you're doing something that you enjoy doing, if you continue to do that for a year, 2 years, some point in time, you'll get very bored and eventually you'll give up.
Yeah.
So again, that goes back to the point of having that long-term relationship with the health professional or exercise therapist, who can guide you through the different phases of your disease, and to design new activities that will, you know, keep you interested.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing is that get a partner, get somebody to exercise with you. I'm sure many of us have the experience that if you go with a buddy to for a walk, to do exercise together, it's not only just the exercise itself is enjoyable, but it's also the social aspect, to catch up with the gossips, for example. Those are the things that makes it fun and interesting.
You must have been walking behind me last week.
And so having somebody to exercise with you is certainly can help to increase the compliance or the adherence to the exercise program. Another way that people find very useful is to keep an exercise log. Oftentimes when people see that the progression of their ability to do exercise from a few months ago till now, you get encouragement. It's almost a feedback to the individual that, you know, the exercise is working. It may be slow, but it's working, and I'm able to do more
right
than before. So those are the little tips that you can use to keep at it.
Yeah, that also makes sense. And I know it's something that we offer as tips for people who are trying to, for example, lose weight. Keeping a food journal, I know the evidence has shown, the research has shown that when one keeps a food journal, they're more likely to stick with an eating plan, a wellness plan overall in terms of weight loss or weight maintenance. So in essence, what you're suggesting is it holds true in exercise as well.
That's right.
Yeah, that's terrific. Also, I think that in terms of sticking with it, that variety aspect, is that, I guess it's not to say that when you get bored with something, you can't go back to it, obviously. If you get bored with one aspect, you can maybe introduce another aspect and maybe keep a small piece of what you were doing before, as long as you make certain that the types of exercise you're doing are hitting all of the areas in your body that you need to keep fit. Is that
exactly
correct? Yeah,
you got it.
Okay, perfect. Well, I can't thank you enough. Unfortunately, our time is up, and it's just been delightful talking with you today, Dr. Lee, and we very much appreciate your lending your expertise and wisdom to our listening audience here at ACE.
Thank you, Cheryl. It was a pleasure.
Yeah, and we hope that you'll be willing to come back again and chat with us.
Sure, absolutely.
Thank you. And thanks to you, our Joint Health Podcast audience, for listening. As with all of ACE's programs and services, please keep in mind that the information provided in Joint Health Podcasts is not medical advice, and ACE does not brand or promote any product or company. The information provided is to help you better understand arthritis and help you talk to your own rheumatologist or healthcare provider to make the best treatment decisions for yourself. Again, thank you for listening.